Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the new episode of Football Garbage Time Podcast, the NFL Free Agency Edition. My name is Hakun Wong. I'm the editor-in-chief of Football Garbage Time, and with me is senior staff writer Ryan Whitfield. And we're going to get back to you today and talk to you about the 2016 NFL Free Agency, which actually opens tomorrow, Wednesday, March 9th. And we're going to try to get you primed for all the people that we think are the best available, quarterbacks, running backs, wide receivers, and so on and so forth. So, Ryan, tell me, how have you been in this outfield, in this offseason? Are you recovering from no football or getting other things done, being productive now that you don't have to sit in front of the TV?
Yeah, football season never sleeps. My girlfriend actually said it to me yesterday when I told her we were getting ready for a podcast now. Free agency was starting tomorrow. She goes, Jesus, the season never ends. So, I'm surviving. Plus, this is right when I kind of hit my hockey peak. So, I'm finding stuff to do.
Yeah, no, I have to. I'm with you. I'm actually on the hockey bandwagon itself as well because I'm a Blackhawks fan. So, unlike the Bears in the football season, I have something to root for, and there's actually potential for getting to the playoffs for us. So, I feel pretty good about it. I take it you're a Bruins fan.
Yes, sir, I am.
All right, well, I won't say anything bad about you then. I'll keep my thoughts to myself. Moving on to...
You're a Blackhawks fan, right?
Yes, I am.
Well, I love you from Patty Kane, so...
Well, he is great, but we got some great... What I think was really funny was when they were actually, we'll get off the hockey. I promise all our listeners we're going to get to football. But when they interviewed Patrick Kane recently and they asked him, so how's it been? He said, well, it's been great. We've been learning a lot. We're winning. We're all getting along. And what's amazing is that the two new guys I'm skating with are starting to speak a little English now, so that's also nice. As you know, there's two new Russians on our team, so it's always nice to hear that. But anyway, so let's get some football going here. And the 2016 NFL free agency period opens tomorrow, the non-tampering period already in effect. Now, and we're going to talk best available as far as running backs, wide receivers, and quarterbacks today. So why don't we get started with the running backs position, because there are actually quite a few running backs out there. And I recently just put up an article on our site concerning my thoughts on best available running backs. But, Ryan, I'd love to get your thoughts on this. And I'm just going to walk down the list here, starting with Doug Martin, who's actually coming off a career season, 1,402 rushing yards, 271 receiving yards, 7 total touchdowns. He played 632 snaps with 288 attempts. He actually had a similar year in his breakout in 2012 and then had a number of injuries that kind of limited his effectiveness through last year, but then had a terrific season last year. Now, he had some other issues along the way, and he was playing with a rookie quarterback, but he seemed to do pretty well. So let me ask you this. Assuming that Doug Martin doesn't go back to the Bucs, you know, what do you think about Doug Martin as a free agent pickup for a running back needy team, and where do you think you might see him go?
Well, I'm not a huge Doug Martin fan. I know there were some injury issues in there as well, but I think he's not my favorite running back in the class. I'll say that. And you know how I feel about the running back position in general. I think he's going to demand some pretty good money, and I don't think that you necessarily have to spend that kind of money on that position. But he'll get it, and somebody will reach out to him. As far as where I think he'll go. I'm honestly not really sure. I think you're going to need a team that needs some run support that doesn't have I would have said the Titans a few days ago until
Marco Murray,
had
right?
Kind of written on it, but so.
Yeah. What about the Cowboys? How do you feel about the? Yeah, that's what I was going to say. What about the Cowboys? How do you feel about that?
Yeah.
That's the thing. Yeah. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I can see that because they need to get back to, and you've heard them talk about it this offseason, that they want to get back to taking the hits and the pressure off Romo and get back to being almost a run-first offense to set up the big plays to Dez. And, so I think that's probably where he'll go. And Jerry Jones loves the big contract, so both sides will be happy in that.
Right. Looks like we're getting a little bit of feedback here on your end. Let me try something real quick. Hold on a second, Ryan.
Okay, sorry about that.
Yeah, so it looks like we're getting a little feedback from your line there, Ryan. So if you don't mind, I'm going to flip you on and off on this end just so that we don't have the static in the background. So I'll just say that as far as Doug Martin is concerned, it is nice to see that he's cut back to his breakout potential. He had all those rushing yards under his belt. He's also improved in his yards per carry from 4.6 in 2012 to 4.9 in 2015. He had the second most rushing yards in the NFL last season, but he did fumble a lot last season. He did fumble 5 times. Lost fumbles, that's actually 5 times more than he's had in the rest of his entire career. So I can see some issues there as well. Let me ask you this question, Ryan. If you were running the Patriots and you guys actually do need a running back, so to speak, I mean, outside of Deion Lewis coming back, there really is no first down banger on your team outside of LeGarrette Blount if he stays. Would you want Doug Martin on the Patriots?
No, I don't need Doug Martin on the Patriots. You know, I do have a couple backs that I hope the Pats go after. Doug Martin's not even probably in the top 4 on that list.
Okay. Well, let's go on to the next one on my list then, which is Lamar Miller coming off of 872 rushing yards, only 647 snaps, 194 attempts. He was used relatively lightly. 8 rushing touchdowns, 397 receiving yards, very active in the passing game, and 2 receiving touchdowns. Had a pretty good season. Actually followed up another previously a good season the year before, 1,000 total rush yards plus in 2014. Definitely light usage, so that could be good for him. How do you feel about Lamar Miller, Ryan?
Lamar's another one I'm not a big fan of. I think for a guy who's pretty decently built, he plays the game pretty soft. And you know, I like bigger, more physical backs if I have to have a running back. And I just, you know, there's been a lot of promise there, and I've not really ever seen anything to really show me that he's really lived up to. I know he's had some flashes and some good stretches in his career, but overall consistency issues with him. And you know, I think, you know, last year was no different. So, you know, I think he'll find a home, but I think he's really more kind of like a second tier kind of guy. I mean, he'll start where he goes, but as far as, you know, in the class of running backs in the NFL, it's definitely more in the middle of the second tier for me.
Right. Well, I agree to a certain extent, but I do think that his light usage actually does open him up for more usage later on, that he hasn't been run down that much. I mean, it was pretty interesting that old head coach Joe Philbin really didn't use him much at the beginning of the season for the first 4 games of the season. He basically averaged under 10 carries per game, less than 33 yards per game, and had no touchdowns. After Philbin left, he really busted out with over 13 carries per game, over 61 yards per game, and 8 total rushing touchdowns. So certainly with touches, I think he can be effective, and I think there's very little run on his tires, so he could be a decent option. But there is some note that he has a high asking price on his head, and if he's looking to make a lot of money this offseason, then that might limit the number of people who are looking to pick him up. So I agree with you there. I actually think that he needs to be in a situation where he's the guy. He obviously is not that great when you're using him with another back, like they've been using him as a running back by committee in Miami. I don't think that's best for him. So if he can find a lead back position, that's going to be best for him, I think. Any thoughts on where you think he might land? Perhaps, you know, if the Buccaneers lose Doug Martin, perhaps that might be a place to go. Or how do you feel if he were to end up going over and joining your Pats?
Yeah, again, Lamar Miller, I don't need him on the Patriots. But I think Tampa Bay is a pretty realistic landing spot for him. And, you know, the Philadelphia Eagles have a void now. And, you know, they're going to play more of a, if Bradford is the way they're going, you know, that it's going to be kind of a stretch offense that DeMarco Murray really didn't fit into. So maybe he'll be more viable option over there for them and play more of a finesse style for them. So.
Yeah, he certainly does catch enough passes, so I can see him being successful. I'm assuming they don't change the offensive system on Bradford entirely, which is, you know, who knows? You know, Chip Kelly had that kind of West Coast offense. I don't know if they're going to continue down that path or not, but you're right. It may be a boon for that system if he actually gets picked up over there.
Yeah, I mean,
so Yeah.
No, I was just gonna say, I know it's a different coach, but they're not gonna change, you know, what Bradford actually had a decently, you know, as far as his standards go, productive season from. So.
Well, certainly better than what he did when he was with the Rams. So I agree with that.
Right.
So going on to my next free agent, Matt Forte. Now this one is a tough one for me, being a Bears fan. You know, he's probably the best Bears running back since Walter Payton. He's over eight seasons. He's compiled 8,602 rushing yards, 4,111 receiving yards. He's totaled 64 touchdowns in that time from 2008. I mean, he's been really one of the most versatile running backs in the NFL during that time period. But now he's moving on. The Bears are moving on. They're going to feature Jeremy Langford or some combination of Jeremy Langford and others. And Forte is looking for a new home. Any thoughts on Matt Forte?
Yeah, you know, I think Forte's still got some juice left in the tank. You know, I think again, you know, he's going to want to have an offense where he can be a pass option too. You know, he's not going to go to an offense without a great quarterback and just be a straight, you know, between the tackles runner. As far as you know, his asking price, I think he'll get a pretty decent sized contract. You know, kind of again a guy that from a Patriots perspective. That you know, I'm not high on, but I think he'll get a pretty decent payday. I'm sure there'll be a little bit of you know, a loss there for Chicago losing a guy like that, but you know, I think it'll be interesting to see where he lands up.
Yeah, I agree with all that, and I have to say that you know, he's been one of those guys who's been relatively consistent. He hasn't had a ton of issues, but he did only have 13 games last year because of injury. He doesn't have a bad injury history, so I don't think that's going to be consistent. The only other year in which he was out for a significant number of games was in 2011 when he only played 12 games. But even with those down years, he's had 5,000 plus rushing yard seasons, and he's never had less than 1,250 total yards in any season. And frankly, I think he has a lot left to give there. Only problem is that he is approaching the wrong side of 30. More injuries could be in the future, and that could be a problem. I think he'd be best running a situation where he is in a running back by committee, where he's not carrying every single snap, and that he can kind of split snaps or play in two back sets. I think that's where he's going to thrive, particularly because he has a lot of experience there, and he's such a great pass-catching back. Now, I suspect that you probably don't need a Matt Forte on the Patriots, but let's just go and make-believe land. If you didn't have Deion Lewis there, would you want Matt Forte on the Pats? And I've heard a lot of rumblings, that even with Deion Lewis there, that the Pats have been kicking the tires on Matt Forte.
Yeah, I'll answer the way it comes to me with any running back. You know, how much are they paying him? How many years on the contract? If it's 2 years at $4 million over the 2 years, sure, I'll take Matt Forte. If he's asking any more than 2 years, I mean two mil per year, and any more than 3 years at the most, then absolutely, I'm all set. I don't need him.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think a 3 year kind of incentive laden contract, you know, not as much guaranteed money, you know, giving both sides kind of an out after 1 or 2 years. Probably would make a lot of sense. And I think that the Patriots are good at picking up running back part pieces. You know, just having him there to have half the snaps could probably really improve things. I think that was one of the problems that the Pats had late in the postseason, was just not having a very consistent running game. I think he could actually bring that there in addition, in combination of Deion Lewis and whoever else Belichick decides to pick up. The other question is, what about the Texans? How do you feel about him going to the Texans? I mean, they released Arian Foster, who we're going to talk about in a minute, but, you know, they also need a running back now.
Yeah, I think that'd be a realistic landing spot. I mean, the Texans' still biggest need is going to be, you know, quarterback. But
right.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, I think that they've shown in the past that their backups, you know, as much as Alfred Blue was hyped for a while, he didn't end up really getting you know, much to talk about, so I think, you know, they're definitely in need. I could see him going to Houston.
Yeah, I think that's one of those things where Alfred Blue is kind of, he's passable, but I wouldn't want him to be the future of the running game in my team. So let's turn to the next one. This one surprises me a little bit. That's Chris Ivory of the New York Jets. again, over 1,000 rushing yards, best season of his career, 7 rushing touchdowns. He also had 217 receiving yards and a receiving touchdown. He's only missed 2 games in 3 years, so he's actually relatively durable, but he has been playing in a little bit of a running back by committee with Bilal Powell and others. So tell me, what are your thoughts on Chris Ivory?
Yeah, I like Chris Ivory. I like tough runners. I like north-south runners. I think what he gives you is good enough to be a complimentary piece on a championship caliber team. And so I like Ivory. I don't need a flashy running back. I just need somebody who's reliable and can take the ball and get yards. And he had a great year last year. He struggled staying healthy before, would be a concern, but I guess that's pretty much emblematic of the running back position as a whole. So.
Yeah, and I think that, frankly, he's actually probably the one of the youngest of the bunch here. I mean, he's 27 going on 28. It's actually a pretty good place for him. I think that he has a lot of experience, and he has less wear on his tires as well because he's been in a running back by committee. My only thing that concerns me is that although he had a lot of rushing yards, I think a lot of that was just due to volume. His yards per carry were actually quite a ways down last year. He was at 4.3 yards per carry, which is actually 20th ranked in the NFL. So that would be a little bit of concern. But I think that's because part of the fact that he's a two-contact runner. He's not an avoid-contact runner. So I actually see this as, strangely enough, a relatively decent fit with the Pats if you have Deion Lewis healthy, because he could be a 1-2 first down, second down back and have Deion Lewis in there for long downs, third downs, and change of pace.
Yeah, I would agree. My issue, again, is just going to be what he commands, because I feel like he's in line for a pretty decent payday.
Right.
He was on a contract here last year, and he ran like it, and they run like
yep.
that because they're going to get paid for it. So.
Yep. No.
I think he'll see some money. But he's actually on my list for the Pats at my number 3 option as far as guys I'd like to see them go after. So.
Okay. All right. So last one on my list is Arian Foster. So let me just everyone knows about Arian Foster. He's our favorite Cinderella story, so to speak. Undrafted free agent to lead running back to most rushing attempts, yards, and TDs in Houston Texans history. Last year, very, very limited, was injury on the PUP list, came off the list, played 4 effective games, and then got injured again. He only had 163 yards, 227 receiving yards. He's good. He's very dynamic, but he is incredibly injury-prone, and that's led to him being released by the Houston Texans. So tell me, what do you think about Foster? Anything left for him to give? Any thoughts on whether he should be picked up by any particular team?
Yeah, I think he has something left to give. I think he needs to be in a situation where not only is he not the focal point of the offense, he's not even the focal point of the running game. If you can keep him healthy, he's still been productive. He's not a guy whose age and injuries have caught up and he's not productive anymore. He's still good when he's healthy. So. With that said, he's one of my top targets for the Pats. I'd love to see them get him. I think you can get him decently cheap right now. And I think with having Deion Lewis, that you can spell each one because they both have injury history. You can spell them with each other. And with that, save both of them, hopefully. And, you play the odds, and hopefully one of them is still healthy late in the season. So.
Yeah, no, I agree. I actually like him a lot. I do think he is an injury risk, but I do think he can be get at a discount because of the injury risk. And I think he'll want to prove himself this year coming off the Achilles injury. So let's pivot now and talk about wide receivers. And let me just hit the list of the 4 receivers that I thought are best on my free agency list. You tell me just as a collective nature which ones of those you like, which ones you don't like, and then we can pivot from there. So let me tell you, the ones I had on my list were Marvin Jones of the Cincinnati Bengals, coming off a relatively good year, 816 pat receiving yards, 4 touchdowns off the Bengals. Rishard Matthews, coming off a very good year until he was derailed by cracked ribs in week 12 with the Miami Dolphins, 662 yards, 4 touchdowns. Travis Benjamin, the speedster from the Cleveland Browns, even with really crappy quarterbacks throwing to him, he still managed to compile 966 yards and 5 touchdowns in that dysfunctional Cleveland Browns offense. And Anquan Boldin, kind of the older guy in the group, but actually very consistent from year to year, and playing with a terrible Blaine Gabbert, still managed to compile 789 yards and 4 touchdowns in San Francisco. So tell me, of those four, do you like them? Do you dislike them? Do you think that they're worthy of being picked up? Marvin Jones, Richard Matthews, Travis Benjamin, and Anquan Boldin.
Yeah, I'm high on Marvin Jones. I actually like Richard Matthews, too. A guy who finally, once Philbin was gone, was out of the doghouse, was had a pretty productive season last year. It was a great fantasy steal late in the season. I like Boldin for the consistency factors, and I like big, strong receivers. That's what I like. I like physical guys on all positions. I like, I think that he's what put the Ravens over the top to win their Super Bowl. And, I know he's old. I think he's got some left in the tank, too. And I think that, in the right fit again, he'd be a really good player this year.
Yeah. I'm actually a fan of all these guys. I really do think that Anquan Boldin is going to be overlooked this time around because he is older. I think he's in great shape, and quite frankly, we saw what Steve Smith was able to do when he had motivation. I think Anquan Boldin has plenty of motivation. There's always a possibility he goes the route of Reggie Wayne or Andre Johnson and just falls off a cliff, but I don't think that's going to be the case with Anquan Boldin, so I like him a lot. Of those four, I really think that I'm with you. I'm really a big fan of Marvin Jones. I really think he has the right height, 6'2", excellent hands. He had a great completion percentage. He actually caught 65% of his targets last year. He managed to compile 816 yards, even running opposite of A.J. Green. He had an injury in 2014. Actually, I think that helps him because it kind of keeps him healthy because he didn't have any run on his tires. Before the injury, he had 712 yards and a whopping 10 touchdowns. I think there's just so much upside there that he's only 26. I really do think that Marvin Jones is the best of the group there.
Yeah.
So, any other wide receivers? Yeah. Any other wide receivers you want to talk about before we pivot to the quarterbacks?
I think the only one that would strike a note is Mike Wallace. Now, I'm not a big Mike Wallace fan because he can't run routes. He's just a straight D-line player. But I think I think it'll be interesting because somebody who's got a bevy of weapons might take an option on him, especially the people that are, fall in love with the idea of taking the top off the defense. So.
I think that, and this is going to fly under people's radars. I think Jermaine Kearse coming out of Seattle. I mean, they've gotten a bad rep, those wide receivers there, because they don't really throw the ball a lot until this season. And Jermaine Kearse was kind of hidden behind Doug Baldwin and Tyler Lockett, and so he didn't really get a ton of targets. But when he had to step up, particularly in those divisional playoff games, he really stepped up. He had some big games. 11 of 15 for 110 yards and 2 touchdowns against the Panthers, which they lost ultimately. And then he put up 129 yards and a touchdown the previous year against the Panthers. So, he, I think, has a lot of upside there, and he's worthy of a look, and he might not cost that much to acquire. And quite frankly, he's still pretty young. He's a pretty young wide receiver.
I love Kearse.
So pivoting to quarterbacks, as we kind of get long on the tooth here on the podcast, let's talk about the three that I had picked out from the top of the free agency list, and there are a lot of others here, but a lot of them are backups: Ryan Fitzpatrick, Brock Osweiler, RG3. Your thoughts on those guys? I have to say, first of all, I'm shocked that the Jets haven't re-signed Ryan Fitzpatrick yet. I mean, quite frankly, he had a breakout year with them last year, 3,905 yards and 31 touchdowns, which is amazing for him. He's in his 12th season, but hey, he worked really well there, and Brandon Marshall loves him. So, hey, keep your wide receivers happy. I'd say re-sign Brian Fitzpatrick. And Brock Osweiler, you know, I know people are going to go after him. I don't understand why Denver would let him go. He already knows the system. Yeah, he's not amazing yet, but everyone should remember that Peyton Manning wasn't amazing in his first year either. So, you know, I think you give him some time, and I don't see why you wouldn't re-sign him. RG3, obviously, he's floating out there in the ether. A lot of potential. So what do you think? Of those three, any thoughts? Likes, dislikes, or which one do you like least and best?
So let me handle it in order. I mean, I don't think I like it. I think I like just like them all the same amount.
Okay.
You know, I would say why the Jets haven't re-signed Fitzpatrick would be the fact that because as I said multiple times last year, you know, Jets gonna jet. So they finally get somebody who makes them relevant, and they're gonna walk away from them. So. that's just New York being New York. Doesn't matter who the coach is, who the GM is. You know, it's just the organization, top down. As far as where he could land, I mean, it depends what team you're talking about. If you've got weapons, decent weapons, don't have to be great weapons, but decent weapons, and you've got young playmakers, and you have an irrelevant team, and you want to sell tickets, and you want to get to the cusp of the playoffs, or even maybe into the first round and get knocked out, then, you know, you take Ryan Fitzpatrick. As far as RG3, I think he's worth a flyer, especially for, you know, team I've thrown around. I don't understand why Cleveland wouldn't go after him. If they mm-hmm. get a receiver in there, and, you know, if Gordon can come back from suspension, but we'll see. You know, you got Barnage and, you know, drawing a blank on the running back, Duke Johnson Jr., you know, you got some decent weapons. And
right. Isaiah Crowell's there, too. Yep.
Yeah, you'll put some, you know, you put some butts in the seats, and you'll have, you know, a reasonable chance. Because I think RG3, I just can't believe he could be so good in college, so good his rookie season, and then he'll just never play and do anything again. But I said the same thing about Tebow, even though it wasn't a good thing, the winning part at least, you know, with him. So I think those two are both good options for risks. They're trying to, you know, sell tickets, and then Brock Osweiler. I mean, Denver's walked away from him because Denver proved that you can have the worst quarterback in the league and have a historically bad playoff quarterback season or postseason run, and you can still win the Super Bowl. So, you know, I don't think it really matters who they have in there this year.
Right. Well, I agree with that. Yep. I think that I'd be shocked if Denver doesn't find a way to keep Brock. I mean, they've invested 4 years in him already. I mean, why give him up now that Peyton Manning is gone? But you're right. He's going to seek a big payday, and he's probably going to get it because the quarterback free agent market is really weak. I think Ryan Fitzpatrick, he should come back only, and maybe they can get a discount. Maybe this is just a negotiating tactic. Maybe that's why they haven't signed him yet. RG3, though, I really like RG3. I didn't like him as much before. I do like him now. I think he can be gotten really cheap. And I love that Cleveland Browns thought. You know, why not? I mean, they obviously need some sort of spark there. And there's no reason why you don't take a chance on a guy like RG3 who was good in the past and has shown that he could play in the NFL and just was a victim, basically, of his offensive coordinator trying to change his ability to play the way he likes to play. I understand about protecting your franchise quarterback, but you shouldn't protect him to the point where he becomes completely ineffective, which is essentially what they did in Washington. So I could see him going there. I could see the Texans picking him up. I could see him even going to the 49ers. I think that might be interesting. I could see him going to L.A. Rams. They could use some sensationalism as they get over to L.A. I think all those moves could be interesting. What do you think about that? What do you think about RG3 to any of those teams, L.A. Rams, 49ers, or Texans?
Yeah, the Texans, I picture them, you know, I think they're going to go for the draft for Osweiler. I could see him going there. But I think the L.A. Rams is a good idea because, I mean, they've thrown around rumors before he retired of Peyton Manning. So they're definitely, they need
right.
to develop some interest in a place where when the Raiders left, a couple decades ago, their
yep.
NFL viewership went up because they're more interested in the out-of-market games than they were in their in-market games. So if you want to drum up some hype with them coming back, I think that's a good place to start.
Yep. All right. Well, we've come to the end of our time for this podcast. So hopefully we caught all of you out there in podcast land on the best available running backs, wide receivers, and quarterbacks in free agency. Ryan, give us your Twitter handle so people can follow you.
Yeah, it's at Ryan Whitfield NE.
All right, and you can follow us at FB Garbage Time on Twitter, and we'll get you all the newest information. And then join us again, and I believe in another 2 weeks, Ryan and I will probably talk about the fallout on free agency and probably get you some primers for the upcoming draft. Until then, everyone enjoy the NFL offseason.